Thank you, and good morning. While we do a little bit of a mic check and mic adjustment. Chrissy, that was great. Thank you. It really goes along with today's message. So much so that it may actually be the first song that we do at the altar time. Well, good morning. For those of you visiting with us, welcome. Great to have you here. I am not the regular speaker, so please come back to hear Pastor Wes. And you really won't be disappointed. And as I say each week, is if you like today's message, just keep coming back every week, and eventually I'll be back up here. So. Also, I always like to say I have a lazy eye. It's my left eye, and it can wander, and I can look two places at one time. So I may or may not be looking at you. Let's do our Bible declaration. I really think it's important that we do that. If you're able to stand, please do and say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today, I'll be taught the Word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I'll never be the same, in Jesus' name. And let's yell it, let's go. Let's go. The title of today's message is Help is on the Way. Help is on the way. So a week ago Friday, so Friday before last, Pastor Wes sent me a message and asked me if I would prepare to preach a message on Sunday. And again, it was on Friday, which gave me a couple of days, but for those of you who may have had to prepare something in that period of time may say, well, that's not a lot of time. I'm a firm believer that, you know, God can make a way no matter what the way, but I always feel better when I like have a message a few months ahead of time and I get to really think about it and pray about it and massage it and things like that. So it just seemed like it was, you know, a tight time frame between Friday and Sunday. So I just started to ask, you know, like almost instantly, oh God, you know, what should I speak about? You know, almost in a panic. And I don't know if you've ever had God just like, Pastor Wes is the first one I said this, but God just put something in your knower. You know it's him. You know it's clear, right? And it's from God. And he gave me Daniel 10. And then I got in my truck just a few minutes after that, and I'm driving down the road, and I thought, you know, I should turn on the radio, see if I could get some inspiration there. And I turned on, and Joel Osteen was speaking, and Joel Osteen starts speaking like almost as soon as I turn it on, he starts talking about Daniel chapter 10. I thought, well, that's pretty good, quick confirmation. There must be something here. Then when I got home, I thought, well, I better read Daniel chapter 10, right? And so I started to read Daniel chapter 10, and I read it in a couple of different versions, translations, and in one of the translations, there's a point where it talks about gemstones, and in the English Standard Version, it called them beryl, and this I think the spelling will come up here in a little bit. Maybe not. If it doesn't, when I get to it in my notes, I'll tell you how it's spelled. But
You know, the last time I spoke a couple weeks ago, I spoke about the flood in Iowa that I went to. Well, the following week was a hurricane in Texas, and it was Hurricane Beryl, if anybody of you know that. So I thought, well, there you go. There's one more confirmation that that we're on the right track. So then we came Sunday, and Sunday we decided, hey, let's just do testimonies, praise and worship, right? And I thought, well, that's kind of odd. And every song went along with the message. You know, the testimonies all went along with the message, and I thought, well, it's just confirmation, right? It's me learning, and I'll take that, and then here I am today. And while I was, you know, kind of searching, looking for something new this week, it really came to me that this should be part two from last week. And after I thought about that, it makes total sense when we get through the scripture that this really would be part two. So that's kind of a long introduction, but here we go, and here we are. So if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles to chapter 10. Daniel chapter 10. Yeah, turn your Bibles to chapter 10. I'm not nervous at all. That was a lie. I don't know why I am. We're all family here. And while you're turning to Daniel chapter 10, I'm gonna pop open another scripture and read that first. But you don't have to go there. So the scripture I'm going to read before we get to Daniel 10 is in Ephesians chapter 6. And it's verse 12. And I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms." I shouldn't have just pulled this up to read it. I'm against the powers and against the master spirits who are the world rulers in this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in heavenly or supernatural sphere. And I think the way I have that memorized is that, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but all the powers and principalities of this dark world, right? So when I read it in the Amplified, it just doesn't, it kind of stood out there. But so with that, we're going to switch now to Daniel 10, and we'll see how much of my notes I actually stick with as we go through this. So Daniel 10, it says, in the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a revelation was given to Daniel, who was called Belshazzar. Sorry, I really did prepare for this. Its message was true, and it concerned a great war. The understanding of the message came to him in a vision. At that time, I, Daniel, mourned for 3 weeks. I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until the 3 weeks were over. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice was like the sound of a multitude. I, Daniel, was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them, and they fled and hid themselves. So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength left. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless. When I heard him speaking, And as I listened to him, I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground. A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees. He said, "Daniel, you who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. Then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come." While he was saying this to me, I bowed with my face toward the ground and was speechless. Then one who looked like a man touched my lips, and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, "I am overcome with the anguish because of the vision, my lord, and I feel very weak. How can I, your servant, talk with you, my lord? My strength is gone, and I can hardly breathe." Again, the one who looked like a man touched me and gave me strength. "Do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed," he said. "Peace, be strong now, be strong." When he spoke to me, I was strengthened and said, "Speak, my lord, since you have given me strength." So he said, "Do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. But first, I will tell you what is written in the book of truth. No one supports me against them except Michael, your prince." Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that we can be here today, God, and share in your presence, Lord. We can share your word. Father, even now, Lord, I pray that if there are areas in my notes that you want me to stray from, that I would stray. God, if there are notes you want me to focus on, please do that. If there's whatever you want to do today, God, that's what we want you to do. God, that's all that we want, is to please you today, God, to exalt you today, for you to have your way in this place. I just thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we live in an instant society, right? We live in an instant society where, fast food. Gosh, I remember when I was a kid, it was a treat to go to McDonald's, and it was pretty rare. Or Kentucky Fried Chicken. That's the one I remember the most. Grew up in Grand Rapids. There was a Kentucky Fried Chicken on Division in Grand Rapids, and that was kind of a special treat to go to. You know, now there's fast food everywhere. Even a lot of the good food is fast food, right? All the different types of places that you can go in, and you know, they make it while you watch. You get to tell them what you want on it, just the way you want to do it. I mean, it's just instant. You can order just about anything you'd ever want to order online, right? And if it's not going to come tomorrow, you're like, "What? It's not coming tomorrow? What's the deal? It's going to take 2 days. What? It's back ordered?" Right? We have such an instant society. We just are so primed for things to go quickly. You text somebody, and it's like, and you sit there and you look at your phone, waiting for him to answer the text. Right? It used to be if you had a mobile phone, it was in your car. And very few people had those in their cars. And my first mobile phone was for work, and it actually had the ringer hooked up to my horn, so that when somebody would call, the horn would beep, so that you knew, so you could run to the vehicle to get the phone. But now, let me see a show of hands. Who has a cell phone? Almost everybody. Almost everybody has a cell phone. So you do. You just, it's life right now, right? I just, How come they're not answering? I can't believe they're not answering. I send a text, they're not answering the text. Everything is just immediate. And this scripture, I know that this scripture helps us to come back to reality, to show that we shouldn't expect, you know, immediate results all the time, even in our prayers. And that's what we're going to break down as we go through the scripture, is really to see that I mean, we want it, right? We want to throw a prayer up and God to answer it just like that, right? But reality is, it doesn't always happen that way. A couple of scriptures that, you know, even though society has changed and our world has changed for that, right? Emails instead of postcards. I remember shortly after April and I met and fell in love, I had to go to work in New Jersey, and we were able to make some phone calls back and forth, but the major form of communication was notes and postcards, right? Not FaceTime and instant chat and text and all those things, right? It was you would go check the mailbox every day and see if there was a note there. And I'm not that old. It wasn't that long ago. But there's just a couple of scripture references, Malachi 3:6, that actually a couple weeks ago, that was one part of the text that we used, but it says, I, the Lord, do not change. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right? So just because our world has changed around us and the things that we do, our forms of communication, the services that we get, just because those things have all evolved, we know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever and ever. So as we get into the scripture here in Daniel 10, it says the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the revelation was given to Daniel. Says the message was true, and it was concerning a great war, and the message came to him in a vision. And a vision, the word vision, it simply means it's a supernatural revelation with a focus on visual communications, but it also can include verbal content. Verse 2, it says, at that time, Daniel mourned for 3 weeks. So, you know, in preparation, and here I had another week to really start really digging more into this and trying to figure out, okay, so why was Daniel mourning? And there's a lot of speculation, but nobody could really just pinpoint and say, hey, this is why, you know, this is why Daniel was mourning. But, and you know what, as far as today goes and this message today, it really doesn't matter why he was mourning. The more of the point is that Daniel was distressed. He was mourning. He had something going on in his life, and he needed answers to it. So to mourn is really to mourn, to lament, to grieve, cause to mourn. It can be an emotion or an attitude of sorrow, as well as the active observation of mourning. For instance, like a funeral or a, you know, a wake grieving process. And again, we really don't know at this point why he was grieving, but it really doesn't matter that much. Verse 3, it says, I ate no choice food, no meat or wine touched my lips, and I used no lotions at all until 3 weeks were over. Choice means esteemed, precious, or costly things. This is also known as the Daniel fast, and I have heard people say that if I ever decide to go on the Daniel fast again, rip my arm off and beat me over the head with it, because it's not the most pleasurable fast, and from a food intake standpoint, and I felt like it may be time to spend a little bit of time talking about fasting, which is something that I think doesn't come up a lot anymore in the church or in our Christian lives. And I think I've shared, if you were here for that message, I'd shared, I had a good friend that I worked with that was Catholic, and he was sharing Lent with me. And years ago, I thought, well, it's really not wrong to, you know, for us to observe Lent, and it actually could be a really good thing. So when my kids were young, I used to make our family observe Lent, and I'm saying that with a big smile on my face because it wasn't necessarily fair to them, but it was kind of a ritual fast, but it made a lot of sense. And we would pick different things each year as a family, and when the kids got older, I let them choose on their own what they wanted to fast from. But it really is helpful to deny your flesh, right? To become more spiritual. I mean, that's really the intent, is you deny your flesh. When your flesh becomes weak, when you take that time when you want to eat or you want to whatever it is that you're abstaining from, and you know, that's different for different people. You know, I suffer from, I'm not really suffering right now. I have diabetes. Like, I have right now controlled diabetes, which is great. But if I were to go without any food and try to fast without any food, it would be bad for me, right? And you could say, oh, where's your faith? Well, if you were in my shoes, I would say, go ahead and try. But for me, I know that I need to maintain a good food intake to keep my diabetes under control. But I can fast from other things that stand between me and God. And really, that's the intent of the fast, is there anything that is standing between you and God, and you need to deny your flesh from that to get closer to God? And that's really what Daniel was doing. He didn't practice the textbook fast at the time, but that's where the Daniel fast came from. And again, really is denying this flesh, denying our flesh to get closer to the spiritual realm. Verse 4, it says, on the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, the Tigris, I looked up, and there before me was a man dressed in linen with a belt of fine gold from up as around his waist. His body was like topaz, his face like lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and his voice like the sound of a multitude. Topaz is, and that's where I was talking earlier, sometimes the in some versions the translation was beryl or gemstone. Also, that the hurricane, as I said, that hit the Gulf Coast, that I had to deal with, was that name. Multitude is really a commotion, many, or like the sound of an army, really, really loud. Verse 7, Daniel was the only one who saw the vision. Those who were with me did not see it, but such terror overwhelmed them that they fled and hid themselves. And I thought that was kind of interesting, and I was really trying to wrap my mind around what happened there, right? So we knew Daniel had been fasting, so he was very spiritually attuned with what was going on. But the others weren't. The others that were with him, they weren't. But there had to be something that happened that they experienced to be in terror like that. Right? So what was it? I mean, did they just sense the power and the presence, the spiritual power and presence that was there that overwhelmed them and made them flee? I mean, what an amazing thing to try to wrap our minds around. What went on that day? But it also can show that if you're not spiritually attuned, that you just may not have a clue, right? And those who are not followers of Christ, those who are not Christians, those who are not open to spiritual things, may not have a clue. It may just really may just scare them, when they right when they're exposed to something spiritual. It may just scare them. I can relate. I had that happen when I was younger before I really understood what was going on. But yeah, could they feel the energy? Was it a storm? You know, it really had to be something. Verse 8, it says, "So I was left alone, gazing at this great vision. I had no strength in me. My face turned deathly pale, and I was helpless." It says, "Then I heard him speaking, and I listened to him. I fell into a deep sleep, my face to the ground." Deep sleep is really that. It's a heavy sleep. You know, falling into a very deep sleep, almost like a trance. I don't know if you've ever experienced or ever heard somebody use the term slain in the spirit, but I've, you know, seen people that have really just been overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit and cannot move. I mean, sometimes they will just fall to the ground and can't move because they've been so close and had such an experience with the Holy Spirit. And oh, wouldn't that be great? And people that have experienced that would say, yes, amen, that would be great. Those who have not may say, wow, that's scary. I had a really good friend, and we do not hide that we are a Pentecostal church, and I'm not going to hide that right now, but I had a really good friend who accepted Christ, and when we were at our old church and we were there, and he said, you know, Gary, says that falling down thing, he says, I don't believe that, and speaking in tongues, he says, I don't believe that either, somebody, I said, yeah, okay, but how about prayer? Do you believe that God can touch you? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, let's go up to the altar and get prayed for. And as soon as he got prayed for, he got knocked down on the carpet. He couldn't move. And when he got up, he was screaming in tongues. And he was, from that point forward, a believer in the whole gospel. In the whole gospel. That was a freebie from the message today. Verse 10, he says, "A hand touched me and set me trembling on my hands and knees." Trembling is to shake, to sway, to swagger, or to wander. And again, you know, as just talking about being in a Pentecostal church, we have seen that too, where people will, when they're worshiping, their hands may shake, their body may shake. And I can point to the scripture to say, you know what? There it is. There it is in scripture. Verse 11 says, he said, "Daniel, you are who are highly esteemed, consider carefully the words I am about to speak to you, and stand up, for I have now been sent to you." And when he said this to me, I stood up trembling. And this trembling is a little different. It's to tremble or be greatly distressed, more of a fear kind of trembling. The other thing I just really wanted to throw out there is a case for not praying to angels. And in this particular case, the angel that appeared before him said, "I was sent." Right? So we want to pray to the one who will send angels on our behalf, send the one who controls the spiritual forces of goodness that battle on our behalf, right? But we don't want to pray to angels. Verse 12, it says, "Then he continued, 'Do not be afraid, Daniel. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them.'" Remember, it said Daniel, for 3 weeks, Daniel had been fasting and praying. 3 weeks. And I know, and that's not 3 years. You know, it's not 1 year, but it is an extended period of time. But Daniel says, from the moment that you humbled yourself, from the moment that you asked, the angel was dispatched on his behalf to fight for him on his behalf. I also like in verse 12, it says, do not be afraid. Kaylin, do you have the picture that you can throw up there? And I don't know if this is in the right place where I intended it. Yeah, so this is, when I was looking at how they described the angel, this one looked pretty close to the way it was described. And his presence was enough to drive all the people away that couldn't even see him, okay? And imagine if this is this creature, this being, this angel standing before you in a vision and talking to you, and he tells Daniel, do not be afraid. So hopefully Daniel was in, after fasting for 3 weeks, was in the right frame of mind and right frame of spirit to kind of calm down after that. But pretty awesome sight. And to think that, you know, we just don't. We don't see in the spiritual realm. As the scripture I read at first, Ephesians 6:12, right? Our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and principalities. And this is a description and probably can't come anywhere near what they really look like and how awesome their appearance is and how strong their appearance is, but it's you know, man's interpretation. Verse 13, he says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. And the king of Persia, again, we're talking about a spiritual battle, right? It's the wicked, the wicked spiritual powers that we're battling. Persia is what we know today as the Iran, but this really is, it's not talking about the physical king of Persia. He's talking about the spiritual king of Persia, or spiritual forces over Persia. And you know what? So even though he was sent on day one, he got in that battle, Daniel kept going. Daniel kept praying. Daniel kept, you know, fasting. He kept seeking. And as that continued, as his prayers went up, God knew what was going on, sent Michael to come to help the original, and they were able to conquer and finally get there. But it took 3 weeks for him to get there. So I have a few notes for that. So spiritual, talked about that. Great power came as time went on, right? When there was power that was sent right away on day one. God heard him, he sent on day one. But as time went on, even greater spiritual power came as Michael was dispatched to help in that battle. And I think the lesson there is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long it's been. It doesn't matter what you've been going through. It doesn't matter how much you've been seeking the Lord. Is don't give up. Don't give up. I was reminded of this scripture in Matthew 7, and again, the way that I have Matthew 7 memorized just says, you know, ask and it'll given to you, seek and you will find, you know, knock and the door will be open. If you look at it in the Amplified, which I love how Pastor West says the Amplified, it's not louder, it's just longer, and that's true. But what it does is it really expounds on the scripture. It really looks into the original text, and it clarifies it. And what that scripture in the Amplified says, Matthew 7:7, is ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. Also goes with Luke 11:9-13. But you know, I absolutely believe in faith, but there have been faith movements that would say, ask, and that's it, right? And that contradicts the scripture that says, ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, right? Knock and keep on knocking. Keep on. Don't give up. Because help is on the way. Verse 14, it says, now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future, for the vision concerns a time yet to come. And really what that vision was talking about was what's written in Daniel 11 and 12, which really doesn't play any role in our message today. I'm going to skip down some. Sorry, Kaylin. Because really, I think the point of the message has really been made. There is is one part in verse 20 that we should be aware of. It shouldn't scare us, but it should make us aware. In verse 20 it says, so he said, do you know why I have come to you? Soon I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. So soon, you know, soon the angel's going to leave. He's going to go back and regain that fight with the principalities of Persia. And he says, and when I go, the prince of Greece will come. So again, it shouldn't scare us, but we should be aware is that, you know, even though the angel came, he's saying, hey, you know what? There's bad things. When I go back, there's bad things. There's more of a battle that's going to take place. But I just, you know, I got here. I stopped in. Everything's good. You need to know God heard you. Here's the message. But there's still some bumpy road ahead. And I think that oftentimes we may start to see some of the answers that we've been looking for. And things seem to start getting a little bit better. And praise team, if you wanna come up, please. And they start to get better. And we start to thank God. And, you know, we should always thank God, even as we're going through it, right? But that's not easy. But then things start to get a little harder. And that's when it's easy to give up. It's really easy to give up. God, I thought you had answered my prayer, but now I'm battling with this. Don't give up, right? Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and the door will be open. So every, just please bow your heads, close your eyes. Mourning? You know, are you going through any grief, any trouble in your life? You know, you may feel like you can't even go on. It's just done. I'm done. I have no strength. You know, you may be saying, last week I listened to the testimonies. I thought, well, that's great for them, but what about me? What about me? God, I'm glad that you're good to all these other people, but what about me? Have you been in a battle and it seems like it just never ends? It just keeps on going and going and going. You know, it may be, who knows, whatever the battle is, spiritual battle, physical battle, a mental battle, a financial battle, whatever the battle is, it doesn't really matter, but you've been going through that battle, you just feel like there's no end in sight. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the good news. And there are angel armies that may have been dispatched the moment that you said, God, I need your help. And we've seen that. We've seen that in this church. We've seen it in our lives. We've seen that in other people. Over and over and over again, where the battle went on for a long time and then we saw victory. And as we listened to the testimonies last week, that's what the testimony should do for us, is give us that hope. Not discourage us. That's what the enemy wants. It's for you to be discouraged when you hear how good it is for everybody else. But it should give us that hope that God is in control and He's no respecter of persons. We see from the scripture that help can be on the way, but they may still be battling to get here, to get to us, to tell us. So if that's you today, and you've really given up hope, you don't see where God could be in whatever you're going through, I want to pray for you, and we all want to pray for you. So please, if it's you, please come to the altar. We're family. Even if it's your first time here, we're all in the family of God. We're family. Just please, if that's you, please come to the altar. We're going to pray. Chrissy's going to sing. Pray. God, you are so good. God, and even when we don't necessarily see it, Lord, we know deep down that you are good. God, we know what your plans are for us. Father, we know Lord, that our battle is not against flesh and blood, God, but it is against the principalities of this dark world, God. And we thank you that you are ultimately, God, you are in control, Lord. And Father, that you hear us and you help us, God. You send the help, Lord. And Father, I pray, Lord, that you, God, would send that help, Lord. Let this message today, God, be hope and comfort and strength, Lord, for things to come. Father, for more testimonies. Lord, we do, God, we believe that we can pray, God, and that miracles take place. God, we know that. We've seen that, Lord. And Father, for every situation, God, that's represented, Lord, I pray that you would just do that, God. Whatever the holdup is, God, whatever is blocking, Lord, your power and your presence in that situation, Lord. Father, we speak the name of Jesus over that situation now, God, and we thank you for a positive outcome, a God outcome. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.